And also joining the discussion are two people who are involved in a special commission advising Barack Obama how neuroscience findings may influence society to preempt some of the ethical issues that are raised by the results. Now.
I'm Stephen Hauser. I'm a member of the Presidential Commission for the Study of Bioethical Issues.
So there are a host of issues that the Commission and society at large needs to undertake and tackle. These include such areas as brain privacy, particularly as our imaging tools become more sophisticated, cognitive enhancement, things like personality, sociability, violent impulses, etc.
So you're describing things like, for example, taking chemicals in order to alter how smart we are, our IQ, or even taking chemicals or some kind of brain electrical stimulation that may alter how moral we are, and also imaging techniques that could tell whether we are, for example, lying or telling the truth.
Yes, although I would make the point that at the current time, all of these technologies have only incremental value. What we need to have is a twofold mission. First, to communicate clearly the true value of the therapies that we now have available, and second, anticipate and prepare for those that will perhaps be transformational, but that are not yet currently available.
And it was mentioned during the meeting today that there's a case of a patient who had an electrical stimulation to his nucleus accumbens, kind of pleasure reward area of the brain, and he had control of how much that area was being electrically stimulated, and so he kind of lied about how much he was stimulating it in order to give himself lots and lots and lots of pleasure. So this brings into issue kind of who has control over the application of some of these findings. Would it be the general doctor or would it be the patient themselves?
Hi, I'm Walter Koroshetz. I'm the acting director for the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. I think that's a really important question. In the worst case scenario, which I think you were hitting on, is that the device becomes an addictive stimulation to the brain. So cocaine, narcotics, they are addictive because they affect certain brain structures. And those same type of problems one could get into with stimulation as one would with drugs. So one issue with brain stimulation is that there may actually be effects that were unanticipated. And so a contract between the patient and the physician, I think, is very important to put down the parameters about who is going to be controlling, what is the purpose of the device. But there is, you know, a precedent there. When we give people opiates for pain, there is a contract about what are the risks of extended use. And I think those same kind of conversations would have to go on with regard to brain stimulation as well.
And there was also mention of the possibility in the future of having biomarkers, so biological markers, for how intelligent someone may become when they grow up, and whether they may even be a good match for marrying another person, almost like a personality biomarker test. Is this really feasible for the future? And if so, what can we do to consider the ethics of this information now?
You know, there are different types of people, but so far that is a kind of a gestalt that we have. But the basis of that gestalt is related to our brain circuitry. So as we are able to interrogate brain circuitry, we are going to be much more predictive about what makes us different from another person, how we cluster, and what that information should be used, I think, is uncharted territory, and discussions need to be started now. I would, however, say, as many of the technologies we're talking about are new, there are precedents. So IQ tests, for instance, have been validated in millions of people to develop this intelligent quotient, which is associated with certain behaviors and successes. And we have come to some kind of a way of using those in education and in life. And so I think that's the early precedent that is going to just have to be expanded as we get into these new tools.
Stephen.
Yes, I think another very interesting area is where the boundaries are between maintaining function, alleviating disease, and enhancing function. The boundaries are not always crystal clear. A circuit that is responsible for pleasure can also be a critical clue to understanding the circuitry of craving, addiction, and multiple other adverse behaviors.
Another issue that was raised